Oh, okay. So we were in the car and driving somewhere, and I said something about Daniel Love and Justin Bieber and blah, blah, blah. And conversation went from there. And I said something about how he was just going to lay in bed and poop all day. And Daniel's reply was, like no. Father, like son.
Jerk kid.
Welcome to Nerd Burger. Episode 34. I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig. How's it going?
How you doing, Craig?
You gotta give me a chance. How's everything? Your yard looks wonderful again.
Yes, it does. We had people come this morning.
And they got done before.
They got done before you were here.
So we didn't have to sit around and wait for them. So that was
and
nice.
As far as I know, they took away that candy and ate it. that was on the ground.
The ground candy?
The ground candy.
Our guests are looking at us funny, so let's go ahead and...
I'm just disappointed I missed out on ground candy.
Had you listened to last week's episode, you would have known it was there. You could have driven by.
Picked it up for yourself. This is Matthew. He's back.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Matthew.
What the heck was that?
What was what?
Anyway, and who's here with us? With you. Who did you haul along?
I have brought my spawn. It is a man-child.
Help me.
Does the man-child have a name?
The man-child's name is Daniel.
Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Hey, Daniel. Thanks for coming along. So we're going to spend the next hour or so kind of making fun of your dad. Is that all right?
I'm in.
He's in.
Excellent.
Just an hour? What, do you guys let out material today?
No, we were talking before the show. We got a lot of potential material. This could be a supersized episode. This could be an hour and a half of making fun of Matthew. We'll see what happens.
Could you guys mute my microphone again? So I can't answer back.
So yeah, Matthew and his wife have two children, a son and a daughter. They've been both mentioned here. So basically you've replaced yourself.
Yes, I have. And I've replaced myself with a much better model. But Anna couldn't make it today, so I brought Daniel.
Okay. Wow.
Jerk Dan. Yeah.
But I just want to point out though that you've created a replacement for yourself.
Yes, I have.
And that replacement might come into play. Because if Daniel brings more funny than you, you're out. And we'll just have Daniel back.
If that's the case, then I'll see you guys later.
Whoa, jeez. Well, that went half of our content.
He definitely has better game than I do.
It's not too far to ride your bike here, is it?
Well, I don't have a bike right now.
Oh, how does a 10-year-old boy not own a bike?
Jerk dad.
I don't need the button.
Fist bump.
Yeah.
What did you do to his bike?
Oh, I got to say, this is really promising.
No, it's not what I did to his bike. So what happened? What was the name of your last bike?
I don't remember.
It was Fire Wheels. Remember that one?
No.
Do you remember why you don't have that bike anymore?
No.
Because you decided to get off it over the handlebars while you were still moving.
No. The chain stopped working.
And then it flipped over the top of your head.
I've done that.
And I was glad you were wearing a helmet that day.
Well, the chain stopped. It wasn't me.
Well, you have your version of the story.
Dad, were you neglectful in the required maintenance?
No. I very carefully made it so the chain stopped.
Wow.
No, so he totaled it pretty bad, and we just we haven't replaced it yet, so.
Yet.
Yet.
The operative,
yet,
word.
The operative word. There you go. You're good.
Hey, it's November. Christmas is coming.
Here we go.
Well, we've got a birthday before that, too, so.
Oh, well, good.
So there's two chances to get a bike.
Oh, is your birthday really close to Christmas?
It's close, but it's not so close that they run into each other. There's definitely two celebrations.
Okay, that's good. Because I've known kids that, I felt so bad for them.
Their birthday was
birthday's on the 23rd or something.
Or the 26th. Everything they get was on sale.
So when they return it, they can't even get full price.
Jeez.
So what? Well, tell them about your birthday. What are we doing for your birthday this year?
Well, I'm gonna have a. We usually, like every year, we have this birthday adventure where we go anywhere we want for like the whole day and just hang out.
That's cool.
What are some of our birthday adventures we've done?
Well, we always go to Waffle House in the morning.
Awesome.
Sometimes.
Scattered, covered, smothered, and chunked. I think that's how I order mine.
Scattered, smothered, covered, and peppered.
Peppered.
Mm. Jalapenos.
Oh, yeah. I like
and have
that
them cook the peppers in too. Yeah, that's good stuff.
But sometimes we go to this bumper car place with a huge arcade. It's really fun.
There you go.
Is that like a whirly ball? You do the whirly ball?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you guys should try that. It's like bumper cars, but there's a game.
Whirly ball. Okay.
Okay.
Essentially, we try to do something really cool, just the two of us, and go hang out and spend the day just laughing, having fun.
Quality father-son time.
Exactly. It makes up for the other 364 days where I am a...
Dirt dad.
See?
All right. Do we want to get rolling here? Do you got news or something?
I have news about me.
Does it warrant the intro?
Should I cover Daniel's ears?
Well, yeah, sure. Go ahead. I finally have free time.
Yay!
After months.
Wow.
Of not having any free time.
I was wondering what was up with that. I found out recently.
Yes.
But...
Hearing it, well, actually all over the country, but specifically here in Atlanta right now, we have a little charity event going on called Canstruction. Matthew, you should be familiar with Canstruction.
I am, and I saw the photos on the face tubes, and they were fabulous.
You liked that, huh?
Yes, the flag was way cool.
The flag wasn't yours, was it?
The flag was next to ours.
I thought I saw you in the picture.
In the background, building the thing next to the flag, sure.
Oh, you were sulking.
He's crying quietly, weeping gently in the corner.
That was just the first one that came to mind. I can check the face tubes and make you feel better.
Anyway, Canstruction is a event for the architecture, engineering, and construction industry. People form teams of five people each, and they have 7 hours to build a sculpture out of cans of food and other food items. And they get judged, and awards are given out, and they're all broken down, and all the food's given away to the Atlanta Community Food Bank.
Well, well done.
And my team, which was my office and another office of construction people, joined together. We built a plane, an airplane, and a wall of clouds and sky, and
marshmallow clouds.
Yeah, the plane is floating on a cloud of marshmallows. 300 bags of marshmallows, which is something I learned when we put it all together the other day, that 300 bags of marshmallows produce a very strong odor. Even coming through the plastic. I never knew that marshmallows had a smell until... I put 300 pounds of them together in one location.
So are you ever going to eat a marshmallow again?
Oh, yeah. It's a great smell. You get high. I mean, you get like a contact high just being within 5 feet of it.
Sugar buzz?
Yes.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Where's this at? I might have to swing by there on my way home.
Well, right now and for the next several days, it is at Colony Square in downtown Midtown Atlanta. Peach tree and
if I'm
14th.
Short, like some apple pie filling, can I
I'm
just,
sure you could find something.
You
yeah.
think I could just kind of, you know, sneak one out?
Well, make
very
sure you
carefully
make sure you pull
off the top of the pile.
I was gonna say, make sure you grab the can at the bottom.
Well, I figured that one down there, no one would notice,
and then the whole thing comes
out,
and then there's just you and this big pile of cans that are spinning around. Everybody looking at you with disgust.
So, Daniel, if I ask you to go get a can for me, just say yes.
No.
Yeah, I think there's about 20 teams participated this year.
Did you post a photo of that on the FaceTubes?
Oh, yeah. I shared all kinds of stuff yesterday.
Why did I not see that one?
I don't know. Maybe you have me blocked for only really important things.
then I wouldn't see any of your posts.
Wow. So there's that.
Yeah.
So that was a nice thing. So you've been working on that for weeks now.
Yeah, I did the entire thing in Revit.
Really?
Yes.
You really? Modeled all the little cans. Can we see the model of the? Did you model the marshmallows?
So somebody successfully used Revit to model something that was built.
Ooh.
For the first time ever.
How old is the software?
You must have had a horrible instructor.
Yes, I have a Starkist tuna can family, a Publix chunk white chicken can family.
Nice. All right, I got
for the people who don't know, and that's almost everybody. That's Revit jargon. Revit is a
families
computer
are little,
modeling
little
tool.
Components of things that get put into the main
right. You had to create
file.
The little objects within the model.
I had to create every individual can.
Families because AutoCAD calls them blocks, and so they have to call them
something different.
AutoCAD calls
because
them.
Autodesk products have to
an AutoCAD
completely independent of each other.
And AutoCAD architecture calls them styles.
Correct.
No consistency between any of the.
Well, that's because Autodesk buys other companies. AutoCAD architecture, that was actually Softdesk.
Architectural desktop.
Yeah, it was Architectural Desktop, which was bought from Softdesk, which generated AutoArchitect.
And they don't, and they didn't rename anything. They just, yeah. I know. This is not going to be a fun topic. Do not get me started on the differences between the softwares, and nobody else cares.
So then one of the main differences between the softwares.
Can you navigate around with that? It's Autodesk 360.
Oh, that's
you just
cool.
use a single finger, you can rotate around.
The main difference is that I have some other fun stuff to talk about.
Oh, okay. That is wicked cool.
Going to put that on the website, are you, Mike?
The only thing I didn't model were the marshmallows.
I want to show everybody.
He's holding video up to the microphone. Mike, are you going to put that on the website, or are we just talking about
I'll
this?
Put a
nobody's going to be able to enjoy it.
I'll put a
it?
Picture of the actual thing.
I bet you could embed a 360 ActiveX control in the site and have it actually show that on the site.
Okay. Can you show me how to do that?
I just told you how to do it.
Embed a 360. Okay, well, you said it, so I'll just...
Right.
Hey, Daniel, maybe you and I want to talk a little bit while they're talking.
Okay.
So what's going on with... No. I have a question for you. Daniel, have you seen Back to the Future?
Yes.
Have you seen all three movies?
Yes, but it's been like 2 years.
Do you know who Thomas F. Wilson is? Mike, hold on.
I don't know.
Do you know who Tom Wilson is? You know who he is.
Oh, wait. No, I don't.
He's the guy who plays Biff.
Daniel's not a credit watcher.
That's okay. He's the guy who plays Biff, the bad guy.
Well, I don't remember anything because it's been like 2 years.
Okay. You might recognize.
He's only 10, so that's like.
You might recognize
20% of his. 25%
11,
of his life.
11.
20%.
11, sorry.
Almost 12.
Oh, 11.
Almost 12.
Why did we think he was 10?
I don't know.
So ask him about his new number one favorite movie.
What's the new number one?
It's hard to choose over The Matrix and Blues Brothers.
Matrix versus
nice.
Blues Brothers.
That's
that's a good choice to have.
Yeah.
You really can't lose.
No, you can't. Anyway,
as long as you don't go to the sequels of any of them.
Right. I was going to say,
the originals for both.
Both originals, awesome.
He
sequels,
doesn't
terrible.
Know there are sequels. Don't tell him.
Okay. But anyway, Tom Wilson played Biff. He played, he was the
Biff Tannen.
Biff Tannen, the big tough guy that wanted to beat Marty and his dad up when Marty went back in time. He called everybody Butthead.
Make like a tree and get out of here.
It's make like a tree and leave. You sound like a darn fool when you say it wrong.
Yeah.
You're as funny as a screen door on a submarine. But no, he's an actor. He's a stand-up comic. He produces. He does. He sings and does
plays
music
guitar,
stuff and
yeah.
plays guitar and things. And he has. He's never gotten a big career. He kind of got typecast when he became Biff. That's all anybody knew him as. He's been in a few things here and there, but mostly he's just been kind of cruising along doing all sorts of other things. And he wrote a little song about people asking him questions about Back to the Future. This is Biff's question song.
Friendly people that I like to meet.
They shake my hand but never ask my name, and they start asking questions that are always the same. Hey, what's Michael J. Fox like? He's nice. What's Christopher Lloyd like? Kinda quiet. What's Crispin Glover like? Unusual. Stop asking me the question. Went to the bar mitzvah of my nephew Josh. Now I'm not Jewish, but I like to nosh. Put on my yarmulke, started to pray. When the rabbi leaned over and I heard him say, hey, was that real manure? No, it wasn't. How was that DeLorean? A piece of garbage. Do those hoverboards really fly? It's a movie. Stop asking me the question. Can we take your picture? Come on, look mean. Would you call my friend a butthead on his answering machine? Questions, questions fill my head. I went to my doctor. My doctor said, what does a key grip do? Set up lights. What does the best boy do? Help the key grip. What does a producer do? I don't know. Stop asking me the question. Do you all hang out together? No, we don't. How's Crispin Glover? I never talked to him. Back to the Future 4. Not happening. Stop asking me the question. Hey, who's the nicest famous guy you know? Adam Sandler. Who is the biggest jerk? Gary Busey. How much money do you make? More than you do. So stop asking me the question.
So there you go. I imagine he gets asked those questions constantly. Mm-hmm. And I believe he actually carries around like little cards too.
Really?
Like in daily life, when people come up to him and they start to talk to him, he hands them a card and says, this will probably cover everything you want to say. If you want to talk more after that, I'm happy to talk to you and take a picture.
I had some cards made up too. No one's asked me yet. I haven't needed them.
Can I have a card?
I didn't have one on me. Now I didn't expect it. I really didn't expect anybody to want one.
Wow.
What's the Boy Scout motto?
Be prepared.
No, I generally live more by the Cub Scout motto, which was...
Do your best.
And that's all you got, huh?
And my best isn't really that
that's
good.
That's your best.
That's really not that good.
It's looking more and more likely, Daniel, that you're going to become a guest on the show and your dad can just stay home.
Okay.
He can chauffeur you here.
There you go. Got anything else there, Mike?
Nah.
That's a no. Matthew?
Yes, sir.
You watched something on television.
Oh, I did. And I loved it. And I'm so angry with you.
Angry with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, this is the part.
Did you get Matthew hooked on something?
This is the part where Matthew misquotes me saying something.
Okay.
But go ahead.
It's really not that difficult to misquote it. First of all, you told me the wrong thing at the wrong time, and then it kind of messed up my enjoyment of the last half dozen episodes, and then you were wrong to boot.
Okay.
So, I'm watching Battlestar Galactica.
Spoilers.
No, there's... Get there first.
Okay.
And first off, I thought the show was great. It was wonderful. It was dirty. It was gritty. It was had great drama. And there was a comic
element. Obviously talking about the remake.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, just to be clear. Right.
Yeah. I did actually go back and watch some of the original ones, and they were pretty funny.
I got 20 minutes into the first episode and stopped.
It was pretty funny. It was so bad.
I didn't even try.
But it was so well done. A few lingering questions that no big deal. But you told me when I had about 6 episodes left, you're like, I don't like the way it ends.
That's not true.
That's exactly what you said. I don't like the way it ends.
No, there are elements.
You lied to me.
There are elements of the ending that I don't like. Overall, I like the ending. There are elements that I didn't particularly care for. And we have it recorded on the internet forever in the episode where we talked about this.
Uh-huh.
You said you didn't like the ending.
I think you're selectively remembering things. So anyway,
we both agreed we didn't like one aspect of the
There's one particular aspect that I
okay,
didn't like.
So then what aspect was it?
How easily they gave up technology.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think that was brilliant. I think they were so ready for it. I think they were ready to move on. I think it was a refreshing breath of fresh air, of liberation, of freedom, because they had been so cooped up into those hermetically sealed environments and living in nothing but technology, and technology had brought down their civilization. And they're like, you know what? cool.
No, I get that, what they were, you know, what they're going after. It just seemed like one day they show up and the next day 45,000 people decide to put their, you know, pocket calculators down and walk away. That just seemed, it seemed like it was done very conveniently and very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just,
well, they only had 7 minutes left of showtime.
I understand that. And there might have been some stuff that was filmed, which was people trying to get other people on board and do something. You know, there might have been, I don't know. Admittedly, they had a lot to wrap up in that last, you know, 40 minutes or so. So, yeah. That's
no,
fine. I thought it was one of those things that was like, well, that was awfully quick. But I moved on past it very quickly because all of a sudden, boom, we're on to other stuff.
Oh, it was great. And then the flash forward to modern day was just fantastic. That was awesome. So, yeah, I thought it was a wonderful show. I'm looking forward to forgetting most of the details so I can watch it over again.
That happens after a while. I've done that.
Yeah.
We're going to do
I've
that
watched
with Breaking Bad.
Two different times.
Yeah. In about a year.
But so the other part was you told me you didn't like the ending. So,
you're latched on that one very general statement that I never made.
I know. Okay, so you're also assuming that I actually pay a lot of attention.
What?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so all I heard was, I don't like the ending. So for the last half dozen episodes, I'm like going, what's Craig not going to like about the ending? Craig not going to like about the ending?
Probably
so,
what
so
happened.
Then wait, are you saying you were disappointed that you did like the ending?
No, actually, I actually enjoyed the fact that I liked something that Craig didn't.
So,
because it makes you a better person than me. Because
well, there's
that,
so or? Many things that make me a better person than everybody, but that's a whole different story altogether.
Fair enough.
I mean, in this one particular instance, and by instance, I don't mean like a Revit family instance. I mean, my type is, but back to Revit.
And we're done with that.
So, moving right along.
What's a Revit?
Revise instantly. That's where they got the name. Craig's looking for sound effects. There's no sound effects for shaking your head and looking at me with disdain.
That's boring. You're there boring, it is. Everybody. We're boring, everyone.
So I've said all of those mean things.
So what was the part, to say one nice thing. What was the stuff that you dug the most about the ending?
Honestly, I kind of like the way it tied up with how we're here. It made kind of sense.
Just the whole rope into they were
and
our forefathers.
And even if you go back and read in Genesis, it talks about the men of old. So maybe they're the ones that brought us the wheel and fire. We don't know. I think it's cool.
My favorite part was how broken Tyrell was.
Well, yeah. Now, the one thing I didn't understand the whole Starbuck reemergence thing, and I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that.
Okay.
Like, why she was there?
Well, what was she?
She was an angel.
She was an angel. She was, like, head six. The version of number six that appears in Baltar's head that he talks to all the time that nobody else can see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she's like her, except everybody can see her.
Okay.
Just, you know, everybody could see her. That's all. That was the
difference.
And she didn't
know who she was.
And she didn't realize who she was. Yeah. She died. When she blew up,
yeah,
she died.
Yeah, she was definitely dead. Because then she found herself.
Right.
So then
in,
that was
in the
drama.
Literal skeleton sense, not in the metaphysical sense.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So she was physical. She was tactile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you watch some of the scenes with Baltar and his invisible. Six.
Yeah.
There are times when it's implied. You don't know if maybe he's manipulating himself, but like she throws him against the wall and he goes flying against the wall. But they don't make it clear. Is he flying against the wall or is there actually someone there who is throwing him against the wall?
Oh, see, I think he's just flying against the wall.
But because now that we know Starbuck can interact physically, that makes you change change my perception about whether or not Six was physically manipulating Baltar or not.
Well, there was one particular
scene. Because they were having all sorts of kissy huggy time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and there was one great one where it showed him going in for planting a big kiss, and then it pans out and shows the perspective from everybody else, and
he's just
kissing
like,
air.
Kissing,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Right.
That cracked me up.
But so. Was there actually a presence there that he was kissing? Was there something physical that nobody else could see? We don't know. They implied that it's not there, but then... Starbuck affects things, so maybe Six was affecting things, and it was all just misdirection. I don't know.
It's left up to us to decide.
Yes.
But other than that, I thought it was great. I enjoyed it. Now, so then I went back and started watching the first episode of Caprica, and that sucked. I couldn't even make it through a full episode.
I've taken two different shots at trying to watch that show, and I've gotten like three episodes in, and
I've talked about watching Caprica and then never actually did it.
Yeah,
because you said it sucked.
No, I don't think it sucked. It just wasn't my thing. It did some different things, and was like, well, I'm just not interested in this.
Yeah, I couldn't even make it through one episode. So, but no, it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to watching it again.
So all you nerds and geeks out there, if you haven't watched Battlestar Galactica by now.
And what kind of nerd or geek are you if you haven't?
Covering news from 4 years ago.
Well, 5 years
it's
ago?
It's on the Netflix.
Whatever, something quite a while ago.
It's on the Netflix. I just got it. Oh, yeah. I just started rewatching Chuck.
Me too.
Great.
I love Chuck.
Chuck is so
such an
funny.
Awesome show.
And again, it's that comic element. I've got to have a really good comic element. Now, obviously, Chuck is a little more slapstick than Battlestar Galactica was.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a titch. But and the funny thing, the Adam Baldwin, Casey's character on mm-hmm. Chuck, reminds me a lot of Lassiter in Psych. Same character.
Have you seen that?
You guys haven't watched Psych?
No.
I've seen half of one episode.
How have you not seen Psych? Psych is awesome.
Oh, well, man. Now I feel...
My allotment of USA Network television watching was taken up by Burn Notice the last
But now Burn Notice is done.
Now Burn Notice is done, and I would like to watch Psych. So that's one of the ones that...
It's on Netflix.
I wouldn't mind getting
into Netflix
starting from the beginning. Are you going to watch Breaking Bad? Are you going to wait till this one's a little older so you can watch it together?
I don't know. I mean, Daniel and I cook meth now, so. I mean, I'm the.
I don't know if we should put that on the internet.
I'm the chemist, and he's the heavy.
Daniel's. Yeah. Daniel's going to be looking for a job in like 8 or 12 years, and you put it on the internet, it's there forever. Somebody's going to come across this.
I said math. Cook math. See,
oh, you cook math.
We have a math lab.
Is that like making up the new math?
That's cooking the numbers.
Is it now the new math?
It's common core math, which means that the answer doesn't matter. If you tried hard and how you got there matters.
That's terrible. Especially with the delay.
So Daniel.
Well, if you hadn't said that, I could have edited it out.
No.
I think Daniel's got my job now.
Yeah. At the very least.
By simply not being you.
Well, no. If you go back and listen, I think you'll notice that every time Daniel speaks, it's entertaining and funny.
True.
And Matthew talks about Revit. So. Wow. So Matthew and I are designing a game.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I heard.
This is so much fun. So, okay. A little background. After I had my initial D&D run here on Nerdburger.
Make this quick because we covered this.
It was awesome and I loved it. And I thought it was so cool. And so then I went into work the next day and said, hey, Craig. And then Craig, take it over from here.
Well, we kind of covered this already. He had an idea for a game and I took it. And we talked about it, like, what's the idea? Could be a board game, blah, blah, blah. My tabletop RPG brain went running and I said, oh, this could be like a little kind of small scale mini RPG. And but it's kind of an oddity. In that it covers, you're portraying characters in a rather mundane environment.
Well, what? First of all, what's it called?
Murders and Acquisitions.
All right, and now,
you get the joke there, right? Anybody?
Murders and Acquisitions.
Yes.
Yeah, like mergers and acquisitions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In American Psycho, Patrick Bateman fantasizes himself saying, "I'm in mergers and executions," and then. It flashes to the person listening to him, and they're actually hearing him say murders and acquisitions.
I played him once on the show.
Yes. And you killed me.
No, I buried an axe in your back. We don't know if you died.
Oh, yeah. I died. Now I'm back, and I'm an angel like Starbuck.
So what's the game
about? Well, not like Starbuck.
Yeah. Well, I'm physically affecting things. I'm not pretty like
Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah, he
means you don't look like her.
Yeah, that's the part I care about.
Howard Wolowitz isn't fantasizing you in his bathtub. Let's just put
Thank
it that way.
Goodness. Okay. It's about working in an office, but in an office that is kind of in an alternate world, alternate reality where anything goes.
Anything goes.
And the little blurb I'm always using is, you know, you want to move up in the office, you can destroy your adversary socially, you can sabotage their project, or you can just kill them and cover it up and move on up. And the goal for people playing the game, if you were to play it as a campaign and actually stretch it out, would be to become the heads of the company. And you just kind of have to work your way up through all the other terrible social corporate ladder climbers that are out to get you as well.
It's a board game, but
it's an RPG.
It's an RPG.
Is it a board game or a card game?
It's a tabletop role-playing game.
Okay.
Like D&D, but it's much smaller scale.
Okay.
And it's in a world that you're familiar with on a daily basis, as in being in an office, and you get to live out the life that you want to live in the office.
Where you just want to crush your
boss. How many times have you gone in there and just looked at your project manager and just wanted to kill him for their ineptness?
Mike's raising his hand.
Yeah.
My ideal life living out in the office is to not actually ever go to the office and just stay home in bed and sleep.
Can I do that? You can do that in this game.
Is that part of the game?
Get that far.
You won't get very far.
I don't care. As long as I get to sleep.
Okay. So when we play test, you'll just stay home.
Have I mentioned I've been extremely busy lately?
I know.
I haven't had a lot of sleep either.
So that's the basics of what the game is about. But it is, you know, the core of it anyway is set in kind of the mundane world.
Okay. So do you have character sheets?
Yes.
Yes.
And they look like a resume. In fact, I've got one right in front of me right here, and we'll even post it on the website. We'll share this with everybody. And everything that's on here, you have an employment objective, your education, your summary of skills, qualifications, work experience, all that kind of stuff. It looks like a resume, just kind of modified a little bit to have a couple of other little things on there that you can use to track some stuff. But all your skills are things like problem solving, troubleshooting, information technology, which is using computers. Surprise, surprise. What else we got? You know, public speaking, team building, which is the skill you use to acquire and lead all your little minions as you gain followers and people that are going to help you or that you can sacrifice and throw under the bus sometime. No, it's his fault. Oh yeah. There's where did it go? Loss mitigation. That's the skill for covering up stuff. That's the skill for throwing other people under the bus. Delegating responsibility, that's blaming other people. The system is basically built, you're rolling two dice, adding them together, and comparing to a target number, and the target number ranges, I mean, right now, as it stands, it's like 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, and you roll the two dice. You roll the two dice, add them together. One die is always a d6. The other die is relative to whatever your skill is. You can have your skill at different ranks. You can have bigger dice or smaller dice for the skill. And if you were to play it as a campaign, you could actually increase your skills and get better dice. And then you have also something called synergy points, which was the name.
I love the
they were called
points.
Resource points. The name synergy point was suggested by Dave because he's like, that is like one of the worst terms that you hear in office. It's synergy. Is it synergized? But you'll have a pool of synergy points that you can, you know, spend and earn over the course of a game. And if you spend them. You spend them in conjunction with other things on your character sheet. I'm not going to get into a great deal of detail, but when you spend them, it gives you an additional die to roll. The non-skill die, it's a D6, and we're calling it the BB die right now, we're going to call it the B die or whatever.
B as in the letter B?
Yes.
What does that stand
Bravo.
For?
Bravo.
It stands for boon or botch. If you succeed on your skill roll and roll a 6 on that D6, you get a boon of some sort. You do it better. You gain extra this or that.
Okay.
If you fail on the roll overall and you roll a 1 on that die, then you botched it and something bad happens to you.
Okay.
And when you spend a synergy point, you can add another BB die and choose the better of the two. You don't add them all together. You just choose the better of the two. So it's easier to avoid botching and you know, your chances of success increase. It's all kind of in flux.
Okay.
I'm just covering the basics of it right now. But when we sit down to play test sometime, we'll go over it in more detail.
Well, and one of the fun things about it is that when you're in a situation, it's not necessarily just melee. You can use the different skills, the delegation, the team building to try to maneuver the other people or the
NPCs, the other characters.
Yeah, in the game to avoid conflict, or you can do like I did in one of our early play tests, and I was pick up a keyboard and throw it at them. That became a weapon.
Yeah, and we prefer that people don't run around using swords and guns in the game. Yeah. Instead, when we ran a little bit of a play test scenario, people were fighting with, they were throwing cell phones at people, yeah, and they were using letter openers,
staplers.
Exactly. Somebody could come in and rip the arm off of the big paper cutter.
Yeah.
Have you seen my stapler?
Yeah. If they do me one more time, I'm gonna
big grains.
I can take this chopper's check elsewhere.
Okay.
So you try to keep it as realistic as possible as far as the game environment.
There's no
sci-fi or fantasy elements.
That's where we're at right now. And I know that, yeah, some people are going to look at this and say, geez, pretending you're in an office, killing your boss. Okay, well, that's kind of gimmicky. And yeah, it's kind of the point.
Exactly. But that's fun. I mean,
that's the funny bit about this. This is something that you'd play, you know, a one shot or a short term campaign or something. And I want to develop rules for monsters or magic or science fiction stuff or cyberware or high tech espionage kind of stuff. But right now I'm looking to, we are trying to just get the core rule system nailed down.
Right.
But make sure that system is working well, and then we can kind of create modular add-ons of things for however complex you want the game to be.
Now, what I like about it is the rules book and how to play. This is brilliant.
Yeah, we're looking to, I mean, like write this up as an actual book.
Is it going to look like an employee manual?
There you go.
Bingo.
The first section is orientation.
Welcome to the company.
and Matthew's working on, we don't, like we said before, we don't really have to do artwork.
How many days of PTO do you start with?
Well, we've talked about having PTO for the characters, because if you get your butt kicked really hard and you need to go and rest up.
Take a day off.
You got to take some paid time off. Where's Mike today? Oh, he's at home. He's got a broken jaw. He got in a big fight with Mary from accounting.
Any bereavement leave? Do you get how many days do you get paid for jury duty?
None.
You're not getting that specific.
No, it's...
We just had somebody in my office go to jury duty.
We're not getting that. Yeah. We're not getting that. No,
not specific like that. Now,
it's pretty fast and loose.
The NPC that kind of manages and governs everything, that is their own little entity that you have to work and manage throughout the whole group.
You have to deal with
HR.
HR. Nobody gets to play a member of HR. Nobody gets to play somebody working directly under HR.
But HR is always there. And you can earn brownie points.
Yeah,
with HR to get favors.
Putting in together a system where basically you track how much HR likes you, how much in what, you know, in how much favor you are, and if you get enough points, you can go in there and say, "Hey, can you help me out?" And spend some of those points to gain some sort of in-game benefit.
But if you collect too many points and don't use them, you become a brown noser.
You get labeled a brown noser,
and then
and then everybody else starts to. It becomes harder to deal with other people.
So we're taking elements of the real world environment. We're, you know, using hyperbole to exaggerate them and make them a lot of fun. So you can actually go into Murders and Acquisitions and do what you really want to when you go into work. You want to open up and cut open that fish and clean it on your desk. You want to
knock down your cubicle wall so you can have the view out the window
and beat the living bejesus out of the printer.
Yes.
Play Tetris PC all load day letter. Long.
What
while,
does that mean?
While eating Cheetos on your desk. And
man, it feels good to be a gangster.
Okay. So yeah, that's the gist of the game.
So it's fun. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
The dog wrangler has come into the room.
Mike's wife, Allison. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Come on, buddy.
And she's gone.
Her longest appearance on Nerdburger so far.
All right, so Daniel, I'm just going to sit back. The microphone is all yours.
Okay.
Yeah, you've been quiet. It's time to talk about Minecraft.
All right.
Okay, Mike and I know the basics.
Like, tell me what you know.
Basically what it is. It's basically Legos in a computer. It's you building things that. With blocks. in the simplest terms. But what? Go ahead.
It's actually called a sandbox game.
Right.
It's like a free roaming game where you can do whatever you want, basically. It was created in Sweden by a man named Marcus Notch Persson.
Notch.
And it's basically, like you said, it's a world of blocks. It can be very logical, but it can also be not logical. Like, you can make obsidian by burning lava, but you can make floating dirt blocks. It's not the most logical game.
That's okay. I play D&D where things float that aren't supposed to.
Basically, how you make stuff in the game is a crafting table. And there's these recipes that you can have. Like, you put two sticks and then, like, three cobblestone, which is just stone that you mine, at the top three. And then it makes a pickaxe. And with that stone pickaxe, you can get iron, and you can smelt the iron into iron ingots, and then just get an iron pick, and it goes to diamonds.
And it's building your vocabulary, too, because I had to stop and think for a second what an ingot was. It's like, oh, yeah, that's not a word I use very often.
And what's really cool is that there's also animals in the game. Like, there's, like, sheep, where you can, like, get wool from it, and from the wool you can make beds where you can set your spawn. Like, where you die, where you respawn.
I was going to say, where you can set your spawn, like, you're creating.
And by spawn, he doesn't mean my son.
Okay.
He's my spawn.
It means where you respawn in the game if you die.
Yeah, and there's also these villages randomly, and there's, like, these NPCs. They're, like, they always have their arms crossed. And it's really weird because I have really
like
long
Mike.
Noses. And they have really long noses, like Squidward.
So like Mike?
So they're really like Squidwards.
I do not have a Squidward nose.
And you can trade with them, which is really cool.
Your photo on the website is photoshopped and you know it.
That's not me. That's some random person.
Yeah, okay.
A Google image search, random dude.
Okay, but, sorry.
Like, over 12.5 million people have purchased the game. And the game's like either like $30 or something. So there's a lot of money.
Did you have to pay for it? Did your dad buy it?
I bought one of my... I only have two. The first one I got for free because earlier on, when they just started Minecraft, they didn't know it was going to get so big, so they gave away accounts for free.
Oh, sure. They were just trying to get everybody.
Like, yeah. And I did some research. It only took like 10 seconds, but about
it's
every
the best kind of research.
About every 5 seconds, three people buy the game.
Yikes!
Like on the website Minecraft.net.
Is that faster than we're birthing people? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Four people die every second, and eight people like get born every second, I believe.
For there all we go. Know, could be, but okay. So.
Just remember that in our house, 83% of all statistics are made up on the spot.
Yes. Don't believe everything you read on the internet.
Is that 83.3 repeating and you just rounded down, or is it actually a solid 83.3?
Well, we divided by pi and just used 14 significant digits.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet, quoth Abraham Lincoln.
Last night, Allison suggested she make chicken pot pie without the chicken because she's a vegetarian, and I said, well, as long as there's extra pie.
Jeez. So how long have you been playing?
Oh, I don't know, like about 2008.
2008 years?
No.
Days?
No.
Oh, since 2008.
Yes.
So since pretty
early. 5 years.
Okay.
Which is almost half your life.
And the game is made by Mojang. If you know, it's like supported like Java.
Sure.
Mojang has made a lot of fun games such as Cobalt, Minecraft, and Scrolls.
I'm not familiar with Scrolls. You can go ahead and pity me. That's fine. There will be people listening here that will find that interesting and useful, and they'll go look and, oh, Minecraft, I like that. This guy's making it. They'll go find the other game, too.
But every year, it's really cool. They have this convention for people who play Minecraft. Like
Minecon?
Yes.
All right. Well done.
Point for Mike.
But it's once a year. It sells for a lot of money, basically. Like, this year is in Orlando, Florida, which is really good and close. Last year is in Paris.
Well, yeah, that'd be a little pricey.
And then, like, 2 years ago, it was in, like, Washington State.
Ooh, that's a drive.
All those hippies.
And, basically, I checked, I think, like, Notch's, like, Twitter or Facebook or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, he just saw somebody buy two tickets to Minecon for $2,500.
To the Florida one?
Yes.
Wow. Hey, Mike, if you want to go to Gen Con, it will cost you considerably less than $2,500.
Okay.
But it was actually a few days ago. It was November 2nd to November 3rd. And they have, like, Notch and Jeb. Notch is sort of retired right now. He still helps out a little.
Advanced age of?
I don't know.
Like 29?
Something like that. Hey, I made $1 billion. I'm going to go live on an island.
Or stay in bed and sleep
that
all
I make
day,
out of cubes.
What I would do.
That I make out of cubes.
Yeah. But
that float.
That float in the air.
But, Jeb, he's, like, basically the owner of Minecraft right now, sort of.
So he's running the show.
Yeah. And Jeb is still there, sort of, but he doesn't do, like, most of this stuff anymore. Jeb's created so many things. He's, like, he created the hunger option so that you need to kill, like, pigs or cows to get, like, beef or
bacon.
Bacon.
Yeah.
So you have to be a farmer.
Well, yeah, there's also farming, like, crops.
But
like,
if you choose to have that
option
running on the game.
Well, there's three modes that you can choose when you create a world. There's survival, where it's basically just survival, basically.
So are there monsters that come to get you?
Yeah, and you can change the difficulty to peaceful.
So there's monsters just come up and hug you?
No, there's no monsters in peaceful. In peaceful, if you, like, lose a lot of hearts, it instantly, like, refreshes them, and your hunger doesn't go
down.
That
sounds like the types of game I like playing, like the Star Wars Lego games and stuff like that, where you just run around and have fun. There's not, you know, there's no real risk to your character. You just, I'm just going to go collect coins and blow things up.
Our hearts, like,
that's
health?
That's basically the whole game.
Your life, yeah.
But there's also easy mode and... where you do lose hunger, but you don't die from it because you only go down... When you lose all your hunger, you only go down half your hearts. And then at medium difficulty, you go down to half a heart. Basically, you have 10 hearts, and every time you get hit... Well, there's different things that can do more damage to you.
Sure.
But there's like 20... There's basically 20 hit points.
Okay.
Like 20 halves. And, so you get down to one half heart, and on hard mode, you just die.
and then you have to respawn where you were?
Yeah, but, yeah.
Now, what mode do you play it on?
I usually play on survival and creative right now, which creative is basically when you have all the blocks and you can, like, fly and basically do anything. You don't lose any hunger or anything. You have no hearts.
So you're just running around in there having fun.
Yeah, you can just build whatever you want with whatever you want.
Did you build a pyramid?
There's already pyramids.
What's the coolest thing you built?
Oh, coolest thing I've built. I like making pixel art, which is basically like, think of Donkey Kong, like those pixels as in Minecraft.
So you're
making
taking different colored blocks and making
different
pictures.
Colored wool.
Just a big flat picture.
Yeah, like
pointillism. That's like hand structure.
Kind of like hand structure. There we go. Yeah. Like how they stacked all the cans together.
Mm-hmm. And it just makes a picture. It's really cool.
Is there any chance you could pull a screenshot of one of your?
Sure.
We could put it on the website?
Talk about red skills.
Show off your skills.
Oh, redstone. It's like, it was made very early off in the game. Redstone is basically like mechanical anything today. Like, sort of hard to explain, but you can place down redstone wire basically, and it can like power redstone lamps. So like the way it powers, like it's turned off when you first place it, but if you like put a redstone torch next to it, it can light up, and it'll like turn on like any lamps around it.
So it's a power source.
Yes, it's a power source. There's like
Legos does that too.
There's like,
but you have to spend a lot more than $30.
Yeah.
There's like daylight sensors, where like it can tell from the sun whenever the more sun there is, the more redstone signal. Like it could give like 7 blocks of redstone signal if it was like the middle of day, and if it was like night, it would have like none.
What are some of the redstone switches?
What do you mean?
You've got your redstone switches where you've got redstone going into a block and then two different pieces of redstone going out of it. How do you know which one?
How we know which way it goes?
Yeah.
I usually just put like different colored wool for each redstone wire, so it's easier to see where each one goes. So I can say, oh, the blue one's the clock. Yeah. That's
like redstone. The if and or those switches.
There's no switches.
Yeah, show me. Well, the thing I like about the redstone from a dad's perspective is that what Daniel's actually doing without really knowing he's doing is electrical engineer and circuit board design.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's exactly creating a circuit board.
He is creating a circuit board, and the redstone torches act like switches, and they can set logic up in the switch to where if two of them are meeting a switch, then it would result in something different than if one of them or none of them. So there's and if logic built into it. There's, you know, select case logic built into it. So there's some computer programming and algorithm design into what this is doing. I saw Daniel build a stopwatch by using redstone timed in such a way that it would illuminate certain blocks into numbers.
Oh, man.
It's nuts.
When I built Legos when I was 11 years old, I just made dinosaurs.
Yeah, well, I built either the town or spaceships. That was mine.
Think of the clock as like, you know, like on the alarm clock, it's like an 8 and it lights up to make different numbers. I just do that.
So they light up different ways to show the numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty slick. You got to get a photo of that.
All right. And, but the third mode is hardcore.
All right.
It's basically
survival. This sounds promising.
It's basically survival, but your hearts look really weird. And you're always on hard mode. You can't switch at all. And if you die, you have to delete your world.
Whoa.
Ooh. Oh. Gonna try that out sometime?
High stakes.
So, like, if you just, like, found diamonds and you just fall into lava, you have to delete your whole world. And
yeah, if you turn around and, oh, all of a sudden there's a cliff and you take the wrong step, that's it.
But earlier I was talking about on survival mode, there's like monsters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different monsters in the game. There's like zombies.
All right, I'm in.
You should have opened with the zombies, Daniel.
No, you close with the best stuff. You open with the second best, you close with the best.
So Mike, then Craig?
Yeah. Wow. Okay, go ahead. Zombies and what?
There's also skeletons with like bows that can shoot you.
Oh.
And there's also spiders.
I took his coffee away.
Like huge spiders. They're really annoying. They can like climb walls.
Yikes.
I find little spiders equally annoying.
These are really little spiders because they're the size of bits in your computer.
There's also skeletal archers. Well, like, no, like spider jockey or spider jockey. It's basically a skeleton riding a spider.
Oh, man, that's a nightmare. So thanks a lot, Daniel.
The skeleton stole the bow.
Craig's going to stay up all night tonight.
Oh, I'll just sit up and write.
Prop his eyelids open with toothpicks.
There's also what the game is mostly known for, creepers. They're basically like these green like things that just come up to you and explode. Literally, like, you just build a house and it just comes up and explodes your house.
Well, that's not very nice. That's awfully rude.
Sound like terrorists.
Sound like bad guests. Sound like frat boys. They just invite themselves over and then make a mess.
With a name like Creeper, you'd think that the worst they do is just walk up to you and shove your underwear up your butt.
No, that's the wedger.
They usually, from distance, they just look at you.
It's a fine line between a creeper and a wedgie.
They just kind of
one is self-induced and the other is from a friend.
Right. Kind of a crack-shaped line. What? 11-year-old humor. Come on.
There's also...
This is no different from our normal show.
It's true.
And it's too true.
And there's also... We keep interrupting.
But there's also Enderman. You know Slenderman?
Right. Creepy skinny dude?
Yeah. That's basically him. He's just like this tall, 3 blocks tall, black skinny, just guy with like, who can teleport. And once you kill him, you can get ender pearls, where you throw them wherever it lands, you teleport there, but take a little damage.
That's sweet.
There's also cave spiders.
Oh, more spiders.
Yes, and they're like smaller.
Okay.
And if they come up to you, you can get poisoned.
Oh.
Which you lose health, and your health is like green.
Are they albino because they've been in the dark?
There's also bosses in the game.
That's a no.
That's a yeah.
Bosses. That's okay.
I'll just sit over here.
There, you know the Endermen that I told you about, how they drop ender pearls? Well, there's these blaze, like there's this world there you can make a portal to the Nether, which is basically like hell. And
we didn't have a webcam going there, but Matthew gave permission for Daniel to use that word.
What's the other time you're allowed to use that word?
The hell of Georgia. But there's also basically it's just a hell world, and there's like lava everywhere.
Wow, man.
And there's blazes everywhere, and blazes are just like, I don't even know how to explain them. They're just like yellow, like rods, and like a circle and like a head. And they just float and they shoot fireballs at you. It's really annoying. But you kill them to get blaze rods, and you make a blaze rod to get blaze powder, and you add an ender pearl and a blaze powder to get Eye of Ender. And when you throw an Eye of Ender, see, this just—it's very loud. It's just hard to remember, but...
Sure, it's a whole... You said there's recipes.
You've lost me.
You need all these pieces. You need to play the app, the video game app called Alchemy.
Okay.
That is what that is. You start with a handful of elements, and you just, on your screen, you push them together, and you combine them, and they make new elements. And then you combine the new elements, and there's like, you know, several hundred elements you have to figure out how to
And before you know it, you've got sweet blue rock candy.
Yeah.
See, this is how far we've gone in just one generation of human beings. Because when we were kids and made a lava environment, it was cushions on the floor of the family room. Yeah. And you couldn't touch the floor or you died. That was our lava
room. Our building blocks were couch cushions.
Yeah. We made forts out of blankets.
Really, really warm, suffocating forts.
I still have a fort in my basement.
I got reminded of something on the internet earlier this week. Do you guys remember? I don't remember what they were called, but it was basically a little metal toy. It looked like a bomb. It had a little tail, like a finned tail.
Okay.
And it was about this big, 3 inches or so long. It had a big round metal head, but that was kind of split open. Like a hamburger bun, and you would put caps in there,
yeah,
and you'd just drop that on the ground, and it would make a bang.
Yep.
That's what we played with when we were kids. Look, I can sit here and fiddle and cut off the little caps and put them in the little thing and twist it down, and then I'm going to throw it on the concrete. Pow! Okay, next. I'm going to pick up the thing, I'm going to open up, put the little caps.
And you did that until you got tired of it.
You did that until all the caps were gone.
Yeah.
You never got tired of it.
No.
I want to know.
Or if you got tired of it, you just took the roll of caps out and laid them out flat on the on the concrete with a hammer. And took out a hammer and went to town.
Well, what's funny about that, in like 10 years or like in like 30 years, my children, I'm going to say that, and my children are going to be, it's going to be way more.
You used your hands to interact with the computer? Come on.
Yeah, you're going to be telling your kids, you know, I had a computer and we built things with blocks, out of blocks, and they're going to be, in, you know, sitting at a computer where they're creating whole universes out of weird spirally things and, you know, things that haven't even been invented yet.
And they're going to be doing with their brain waves.
And yeah, and they're going to do it just by looking at the screen and thinking hard.
Well, if that was the case, Daniel wouldn't build much of anything.
Jerk Dad!
Well, anyways, once you get an Eye of Ender, you can throw it in the air and you follow it, basically, and it goes above ground. And then wherever it stops, that's where a stronghold is. And strongholds are basically like this huge fortress underground, so you have to dig down. And usually where it goes, it's this portal. And you need more Eye of Enders. Like, you place it inside the portal. And then it turns into like this darkness. And then you have to jump into the darkness. It's really weird. But then you like teleport into a new world called the End. It's literally called the End.
Is the game almost over at this point?
There's no end to the game.
But you just said there's the End. I gotcha.
It's the name.
Okay. Look, I tricked an 11-year-old. Big Craig.
I lost the over-under.
Yeah.
But basically...
is there a jerk host sound effect?
Yeah, it's the sound of my voice. 34 episodes in a row.
But basically, in the End, there's like hundreds and hundreds of Endermen.
Oh, that's no good.
And if you look into your... Well, they don't attack you unless you look into your... Until you look into their eyes. Because then they like open their mouth really big. It's really weird, and then they just teleport to you. And but anyways, there's this huge dragon in the End called the Ender Dragon, and there's a huge health bar of him at the top. But if you attack him at first, he just regenerates because there's these huge towers. With I probably lost you by now, but
I'm mostly there. Keep going.
But these towers, and they have, like, these 3D, believe it or not, 3D, and, Minecraft, there's just these, like, spheres, sort of, on bedrock, and bedrock is, like, the invincible thing that you cannot mine.
Sure.
And you have to, like, shoot it with arrows, and it explodes, and those are what heal them. So you gotta destroy all of those first, and then you can attack the Ender Dragon without, trying to hit any of the Endermen.
Have you attacked the Ender Dragon?
Oh, I've beaten him several times.
Oh, well,
of course.
I guess that takes care of that. What was I thinking?
And what happens when you kill him?
When you kill him,
it's then like, it's the End.
No,
there is no end.
No,
but he said
no. Okay. he just drops a bunch of experience orbs, and with experience orbs, you can enchant stuff to make it like. You can enchant a sword to like with sharpness, and you can make it stronger.
Weapons. There we go.
Magic weapon, and then you can enchant it with fire aspect, so that whenever you hit somebody, they go on fire. It's really fun.
Can you do that to the spiders?
Yes.
Sweet. All right, I'm back in. that's a lot of work to be able to set spiders on fire.
No, you just hit them and they just turn on fire.
Okay, but you got to go through all that stuff to get that.
Well, no, you get experience orbs from killing mobs as well.
Okay. Okay.
Killing mobs?
Mobs are another name for the entities, which are... Entities are another name for the monsters.
It's just a name for the monsters.
Okay. So it's not like some greasy Italian-American guy with a Tommy gun.
Mobster.
Do you want to know one of my favorite things about Minecraft? Here. Well, I'm going to step out of the way. Nope. You sit over here.
Fight.
Now watch this. Hey, Daniel. No Minecraft for a week.
No. Kill you.
Jeez.
It is the ultimate in parental bribery.
Wow.
It is blackjack upon all other things which are created. And I can.
So Minecraft is the new TV or comic
it
books.
It is. Yes. I'm going to take away your Hot Wheels.
Well, not bicycle because you've already taken, you know, not given him a new bicycle.
Yet.
Yeah.
I'm convinced you know, you probably just drove over it in the driveway or something.
No, he flew off the handlebars and flipped over and
I have a feeling that you're the one who messed with the chain to make it stop.
Daniel, would I do that to you?
Yes, I'm the perfect timing.
I would do a lot of things, but I wouldn't physically hurt you.
Okay, we're getting like off topic every sentence.
Much.
Have you not listened to an episode before?
This is what it's always like. You're not, you haven't changed it really. I mean, you brought some fun stuff to it, but this is what we're like. We go all over the place.
Basically, he, when you kill the Ender Dragon, he places an egg, which if you try to break it, it just teleports away. So you got to use a piston, which is another type of redstone, and push it in to the egg so it breaks and you can get the block. It doesn't even do anything though. It just it's just like spoils of war or something.
It's a trophy.
Yeah, a trophy.
You scramble that up and have it with some of your bacon from your pig on your farm.
And it takes it all the way back to the beginning.
No matter how far you go, you always end up at bacon.
So that's a complex game. There's a lot going on.
No, but there's another boss.
Okay. Well, there's, I mean, you said the game never ends. It just keeps going. So, man, yeah.
And it just keeps
so he's
going to
keep going until we're done.
Okay.
So it just keeps on updating and updating and
sure.
updating.
They just keep coming up with new stuff.
Like,
so the longer we wait to start playing, the further behind we're going to be.
Well, anyways, when the nether, no, when you go into the end, the portal doesn't come back. You have to defeat the Ender Dragon to get out, or you have to die to get out. So it's really annoying, but he drops.
But you've defeated the Ender Dragon multiple times.
Yes, I have. But the portal, it just places, and you go back. It has like these long. It's not even credits. They just call it credits. It's just like these two people speaking. These two people speaking about stuff that you have no idea about. And then if you press escape, you can just escape.
Kind of like this part of the podcast right now. I'm kidding.
Anyways, and then you spawn where your spawn was, where you set your spawn.
Where you made your bed?
Yeah, and, well, you don't have to make a bed. You just spawn in random space in the world. But, basically, there's another boss called the Wither. It's really annoying. It's, like, worse than the Ender Dragon. But basically, the way you get it, you have to go to the Nether. And there's these, you know, I told you skeletons. There's these people. Well, there's these skeletons at the Nether called Wither skeletons. Oof. And when you kill them, you have a 1 out of 50 chance to get a Wither head.
Whoa!
And you need 50. I don't know. You need 3 Wither heads.
No, 100 Wither heads. Or was it?
It was 3.
1 Wither head. I can't remember.
Go. Oh my gosh.
It was either 1, 3, or 100.
Hey,
1,004.
Hey, non-expert, stop talking.
3.
There you go.
But you need 3, and you put it on soul sand, which is just another type of block in the Nether. And basically, it forms the Wither. I can't really explain it, but it's just like it can like fly, and it like it has 3 heads, and it shoots its heads off, but it's there. So logical. Anyways, it just kills any living thing. Like, literally, it'll kill pigs. And if it'll kill, like, creepers or even stuff that wants to kill you.
So it's pretty destructive.
Yeah, and you gotta either shoot it with your bow when it goes to half health. And by the way, regenerate slowly over time, and you can't stop that. It just keeps on shooting the heads at you. So, like, if you have any armor on, it, like, destroys your armor, because your armor can break. It's really annoying. But you have to shoot it with your bow until it's, like, at half hearts. And when it's at half hearts, it goes down to the ground, basically. Like, it stops flying and stays on the ground. And it, like, has these, like, white, like, waves going around it. And it's called rage mode. Whenever you, like, hit it, it can, like, burst forward and break anything in front. It can literally break anything except for bedrock. Like, you can only break obsidian with a diamond pickaxe, but he just plows right through it. Until, when you defeat, the Wither, you don't get that much experience, which is just mean. And,
jeez.
And, you get a nether star. And then with that nether star, you need to make diamond blocks, which is 9 diamonds. And then, like, obsidian and glass, and it makes a beacon. It's really cool. If you, like, put a 3x3 iron block on the floor, which is just 9 iron and the whole crafting space, and you put it in the center, it shoots up, like, a beacon light that, like, spins. It's, like, this holy light, sort of, with, like, a small turquoise. Anyways, it just goes up and up and up until nowhere. And then, basically, you can, like, put diamonds in it, and you can, like, get boosts. Like, there's these potions in the game, which would take forever to explain. But yeah, there's these speed potions, which make you go faster, strength potions, which make you do more damage, invisibility potions, which make you invisible, but mobs can still see you, so there's no point. But
the mob sees you no matter what you do.
But when you put it in there, you can, like, choose if you want a speed boost when you're in a certain area around it, so you don't have to drink any potions, and it's forever. So that's, like, the single player part. There's also multiplayer.
Okay. Okay. Which is all of that, but with everybody.
All of that, but you can. There's these things called servers, and you have to, like, put in an IP, which is just, like,
right,
a random set of numbers. Like 189.182.49.2.
Is he giving out your IP address?
No. Thank you for describing and giving us an example of a random number.
You can hack Matthew and Daniel at
189.14.
Anyways, you can join it, and there's, like, other people on the server, and you can, like, change what you look like to other people on the server. So, like, right now I'm Elwood from the Blues Brothers.
Nice.
But you can, like, change this to... They've literally made a skin for, like, anything.
Oh, sure, because they mod those things like crazy. People got nothing better to do than sit down and just make little customized this and that.
And there's, like, there's a chat where you can talk to people and do commands with slash, like, whatever your command is.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's these things called plugins that they add to the servers. And they basically add stuff to the servers. And they can, like, there's this one that, like, lets you do, like, it's called Bucket. Well, that's, like, a type of server, but it's really a plugin. You can, like, do slash set home wherever you want, so that you can, like, go wherever you want, and then whenever you get whatever you want, like, if you, just like,
boom, you go home.
You can do slash home, and you instantly go home. It's really cool. So you don't have to walk all the way back or make a map. There's also, like...
Wow, I would hate to have to walk all the way back in the computer.
I know.
Sitting still in my chair and holding
drinking
down
Kool-Aid
the arrow
and eating
key.
Brownies.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not arrow keys.
Oh, thank you, Daniel.
It's W-A-S. But you can change your controls. But anyways,
moving around with the left hand.
That's basically the servers. One more thing.
All right.
That's, like, the longest
in for thing. A penny, in for a pound. Let's go.
Hang on.
The longest thing ever. I'm waiting for the end. Oh, there we go. It's called Minecraft Mods. It's basically, like, modifications that you can add. Like, there's a mod for anything. So there's, like, a Star Wars mod.
Ooh.
Or there could be, like, clones or anything. One of the
copyright Disney.
No, there's no copyrights. But you can basically there's, like, this mod called it's called Tekkit. It has machinery, so you can, like, get, like, rubber from trees, and you can, like, put it in, like, electric furnaces, and you can, like, macerate ores.
Whoa.
There's just so much stuff. It's
macerate?
Master, it means to break it down. So, like, you know how if you cook in... you know how if you get an ore, you cook it, you get one ore? Mm-hmm. You get one ingot? Well, if you macerate an ore, you get two dust, and each dust makes one ingot. So you get double what you want. But there's mods for anything. So there could be, like, Pokemon mod. And they have, like, cool names for it. Like, Pokemon is, like, Pixelmon. There's There's just so many things. There's like /mine where you can choose. I'm just choosing a lot of things out the Technic launcher, but there's like /mine where you can like choose to be like a wizard or whatever you want. And you like have this wand and there's like all sorts of different mobs and you can like, so if you like choose a wizard, you can like teleport small distances. You can like shoot fireballs.
Blow stuff up.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
So basically what you're saying is if you didn't have your parents to stop you and remind you that you need to sleep or eat or go to school, you could sit in front of this thing for a couple of months and not notice.
Probably. If there is a small refrigerator next to me.
And an empty Powerade bottle to pee in.
And what I like to do is I like to go on multiplayer servers with my friends on Skype. So, yeah. So I can talk to them over long distances.
While you're playing.
While playing.
That's cool.
We use Skype.
So yeah, he'll have a Skype on one conference on one screen while he's got Minecraft on the other, and he's constantly, you know, yelling at people through Skype and then typing in commands and flipping around. And if I could just work that fast in Revit.
So you look like that dude in The Matrix where he's got all the screens in front of him.
Oh, yeah. That's what I want. I only have 2 monitors.
Get with it, Dad. We need like 16 monitors.
Follow the white rabbit.
Now, do you ever play Minecraft long enough that everything just starts to look like green letters flowing down the screen?
No.
Not quite that bad.
But when I think of The Matrix, I think of that.
Yeah.
You mentioned Elwood.
Oh, no. Another.
You just had Halloween.
Yeah. I was, anybody who's watching this who's a nerd knows the Blues Brothers.
Of course.
Well, no, anybody who has a life has seen the Blues Brothers.
Agreed.
But I was Elwood for Halloween.
Cool.
So I got his whole outfit and I put like Elwood on my fingers.
Sure.
And I got some Cheese Whiz and put it in my back pocket. So I went to this Halloween party and I went to my dad and I was like, I got your old Cheese Whiz.
What was I?
You were Jake for Halloween. Oh. So we got a picture.
And you're going to let us put Jake's, that on the internet?
Yeah.
Jake's the chubby one, right?
Yeah, there's a reason why I put Jake.
So yeah, you, Daniel's the skinny, tall one.
Girth accuracy, not height.
Correct. For this yes. Okay. Now, when you...
Or
when
unless you walked around on your knees with shoes like dwarf.
Shoes at your sticking out of your knees.
And when you look at the photo, Daniel has the Elwood indifference facial expression absolutely perfect.
Yep.
I bet they've got skmods.
But anyways, since we've gone to the movie section, I guess.
Test of faulty equipment. Check. What else you got?
So there's one more thing. I have a jerk dad.
Ooh, a jerk
dad.
Sorry. You want to do that over again?
No.
I stepped on it.
It was last night. We were playing this game where you have to like ask questions about people and they have to answer. And so somebody else was asking a question. It was, I forgot it.
What's the lamest collection you can have?
And my dad said children.
Oh.
Jerk dad.
Oh.
Way to go.
All right.
Father of the year over there.
Do we got a jerk kid moment?
So just
Matthew,
in,
Matthew, fess up. When has Daniel gotten the better of you lately?
Oh, okay. So we were in the car and driving somewhere, and I said something about Daniel loving Justin Bieber and blah, blah, blah. And conversation went from there. And I said something about how he was just going to lay in bed and poop all day. And Daniel's reply was, like no. Father, like son.
Jerk kid.
And then he paused and followed up with, the apple hasn't fallen from the tree yet.
Oh, so you got like the double stinger. You get him with one joke and follow up. Nice.
While I was reeling and looking for a comeback, he went ahead and gave me another uppercut.
Oh, and that's just the worst, where you're ready to do the comeback, and then they hit you with the second one, and that's it. It's so, like you just got to concede it.
So, yeah. And I'll, am I that mean all the time, Daniel?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes.
Give him the microphone so that he can answer.
No.
Yes, he is.
Number one rule of sales, never ask a question you don't want to know the answer.
Hey, ask me again.
Am I mean that?
No.
Am I mean,
ask me again.
Really?
No.
Once? Am I mean that all the time?
Yes.
Ask really?
Me again. Yes.
Am I mean all
ask
the time?
Ask me a different way. Yes.
So.
They've got a little bit.
Who's on
They've
first?
Got a shtick.
So, yeah, I mean all the time.
Alrighty. Is that the whole deal?
I think so.
Yeah. Supersized episode, everybody. Enjoy. Guys, thank you for coming
out. Yes, thank you very much.
And well done with breaking, knocking the mic stand off of the table. Good job.
Wow. Craig, do you want to help him there?
No, he's just going to hold on to that. Matthew decided to start moving that microphone stand back and forth like crazy. So he's going to stand there and hold
the mic. Right place to begin with.
He's going to stand there and hold that mic stand for the rest of the episode.
Awesome.
So thank that's you. The thing you take the picture of.
So thank you again, guys, for coming to the show. I hope you had fun.
We've had a lot of fun. Daniel, did you have fun?
Yes.
Mike, where can they find us?
Nerdburgershow.com, at Nerdburgershow on the Twitters, Nerdburgershow on Facebook, and email us at nerdburgershow@gmail.com.
On the next episode.
Okay, now.
On the next episode of Nerdburger, Mike makes fun of non-Apple stuff and Craig voices a strong opinion about something that doesn't really affect him. Just like every episode.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's the show. Bye-bye.
Did you see why I talk about my kids all the time? Did you see how much fun this is?
For the record... The fact that you jumped in early on that and I stopped you, that's perfect because we do that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
We listen to the podcast, we screw stuff up and we always say, oh, we'll cut that out. We'll fix that in editing.
And we never do.
We never fix anything.